Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior years shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Articles from the New York Times and Kaiser Health News present information, research, and statistics, opinions, and concerns about a topic that has up to this point eluded me: rational suicide among the aging. Now, this is not the same as the occurrence of assisted death for those with terminal illness, which is legal in some states. Rather, it is what Dina Davis, bioethicist at Lehigh University, calls preemptive suicide, controlling the time and manner of one's death. I'll begin with Kaiser Health News's "More Seniors Are Weighing the Possibility of Rational Suicide, Experts Say," by Melissa Bailey, published June 25, 2019, followed by the New York Times' "A Debate Over Rational Suicide" by Paula Spann, August 2018, and a portion of an offering by the Society for Old Age Rational Suicide, or SOARS. Beginning with "More Seniors Are Weighing the Possibility of Rational Suicide." 10 residents slipped away from their retirement community one Sunday afternoon for a covert meeting in a grocery store cafe. They aimed to answer a taboo question: when they feel they have lived long enough, how can they carry out their own swift and peaceful death? The seniors, who live in independent apartments at a high-end senior community near Philadelphia, showed no obvious signs of depression. They're in their 70s and 80s, and they say they don't intend to end their lives soon. But they say they want the option to take preemptive action before their health declines in their later years, particularly due to dementia. More seniors are weighing the possibility of suicide, experts say, as the baby boomer generation, known for valuing autonomy and self-determination, reaches older age at a time when modern medicine can keep human bodies alive far longer than ever before. The group gathered a few months ago to meet with Dina Davis, a bioethics professor at Lehigh University who defends rational suicide. The idea that suicide can be a well-reasoned decision, not a result of emotional or psychological problems. Davis, 72, has been vocal about her desire to end her life rather than experience a slow decline due to dementia as her mother did. The concept of rational suicide is highly controversial. It runs counter to many societal norms, religious and moral convictions, and the efforts of suicide prevention workers who contend that every life is worth saving. The concern that I have at a social level is, if we all agree that killing yourself is an acceptable, appropriate way to go, then there becomes a social norm around it, and it becomes easier to do, more common, said Dr. Yates Conwell, a psychiatrist specializing in geriatrics at the University of Rochester and a leading expert in elderly suicide. That's particularly dangerous with older adults because of widespread ageist attitudes, he said. As a society, we have a responsibility to care for people as they age, Conwell argued. Promoting rational suicide creates the risk of a sense of obligation for older people to use that method rather than advocate for better care that addresses their concerns in other ways. A Kaiser Health News investigation in April found that older Americans, a few hundred per year at least, are killing themselves while living in or transitioning to long-term care. Many cases KHN reviewed involved depression or mental illness. What's not clear is how many of these suicides involved clear-minded people exercising what Davis would call a rational choice. Suicide prevention experts contend that while it's normal to think about death as we age, suicidal ideation is a sign that people need help. They argue that all suicides should be avoided by addressing mental health and helping seniors live a rich and fulfilling life. But to Lois, an 86-year-old woman who organized the meeting outside Philadelphia, suicides by older Americans are not all tragedies. Lois, a widow with no children, said she would rather end her own life than deteriorate slowly over 7 years, as her mother did after she broke a hip at age 90. Lois asked to be referred to only by her middle name so she would not be identified, given the sensitive topic. In her 8 years at her retirement community, Lois has encountered other residents who feel similarly about suicide. But because of stigma, she said, the conversations are usually kept quiet. Lois insisted her group meet off campus at Wegmans because of the subversive nature of the discussion. Supporting rational suicide, she said, clashes with the ethos of their continuing care retirement community, where seniors transition from independent apartments to assisted living to nursing homes as they age. Seniors pay six figures to move into this bucolic campus, which includes an indoor heated pool, a concert hall, and many acres of wooded trails. They are guaranteed housing, medical care, companionship, and comfort for the rest of their lives. "We are sabotaging that," Lois said of her group. "We are saying thank you very much, but that's not what we're looking for." Carolyn, a 72-year-old member of the group who asked that her last name be withheld, said they live in a fabulous place where residents enjoy a lot of agency, but she and her 88-year-old husband also want the freedom to determine how they die. A retired nurse, Carolyn said her views have been shaped in part by her experience in the HIV/AIDS epidemic. In the 1990s, she created a program that sent hospice volunteers to work with people dying of AIDS, which at the time was a death sentence. She said many of the men kept a stockpile of lethal drugs on a dresser or bedside table, and they would tell her, "When I'm ready, that's what I'm going to do." But as their condition grew worse, she said, they became too confused to follow through. "I just saw so many people who were planning to have that quiet, peaceful ending when it came, and it just never came. The pills just got scattered. They lost the moment when they had the wherewithal to end their own lives," she said. Carolyn emphasized that she and her husband do not feel suicidal, nor do they have a specific plan to die on a certain date. But she said that while she still has the ability, she wants to procure a lethal medication that would offer the option for a peaceful end in the future. "Ideally, I would have in hand the pill or liquid or injection," she said. And she said she's embarrassed that as a former nurse, she doesn't know which medication to use or how to get it. Maine recently became the ninth state to allow medical aid in dying, which permits some patients to get a doctor's prescription for lethal drugs. Now, this method is restricted, however, to people with terminal conditions who are mentally competent and expected to die within 6 months. Patients who aren't eligible for those laws would have to go to an underground practice to get lethal medication, said Dr. Timothy Quill, a palliative care physician at the University of Rochester School of Medicine. Quill became famous in the 1990s for publicly admitting that he gave a 45-year-old patient with leukemia sleeping pills so she could end her life. He said he has done so only with one other patient. Quill said he considers suicide one option he may choose as he ages. "I would probably be a classic case. I'm used to being in charge of my life." He said he might be able to adapt to a situation in which he became entirely dependent on the care of others, "but I'd like to be able to make that be a choice as opposed to a necessity," he said. Suicide could be as rational a choice as a patient's decision to end dialysis, after which the patient typically dies within 2 weeks, he said. "But when patients bring up suicide," he said, "it should launch a serious conversation about what would make their life meaningful and their preferences for medical care at the end of life." clinicians have little training on how to handle conversations about rational suicide, said Dr. Meera Balasubramanian, a geriatric psychiatrist at the New York University School of Medicine, who has written about the topic. She said her views are evolving on whether suicide by older adults who are not terminally ill can be a rational choice. One school of thought is that even mentioning the idea that this could be rational is an ageist concept, she said. It's an important point to consider, but ignoring it and not talking about it also does not do our patients a favor, who are already talking about this or discussing this among themselves. In her discussions with patients, she said she explores their fears about aging and dying and tries to offer hope and affirm the value of their lives. These conversations matter because the balance between the wish to die and the wish to live is a dynamic one that shifts frequently, moment to moment, week to week, said Conwell, the suicide prevention expert. Carolyn, who has 3 children and 4 grandchildren, said conversations about suicide are often kept quiet for fear that involving a family member would implicate them in a crime. The seniors also don't want to get their retirement community in trouble. In some of the cases KHN reviewed, nursing homes have faced federal fines of up to tens of thousands of dollars for failing to prevent suicides on site. There's also just this hush-hush atmosphere of our culture, said Carolyn, not wanting to deal with judgment of others or offend someone because they have different beliefs. It makes it hard to have open conversations. Carolyn, who said when she and her neighbors met at the cafe, she felt comforted by breaking the taboo. The most wonderful thing about it was being able to be around a table with people that I knew were there and we could talk about it and realize that we're not alone, Carolyn said. To share our fears, like if we choose to use something and it doesn't quite do the job and you're comatose or impaired. People who attempt suicide and survive may end up in a psychiatric hospital with people watching you all the time, the complete opposite of what you're trying to achieve, Quill noted. At the meeting, many questions were practical, Lois said. We only get one crack at it, Lois said. Everyone wants to know what to do. Davis said she did not have practical answers. Her expertise lies in ethics, not in means. Public opinion research has shown shifting opinions among doctors and the general public about hastening death. Nationally, 72% of Americans believe doctors should be allowed by law to end a terminally ill patient's life if the patient and his or her family request it, according to a 2018 Gallup poll. Lois said she's seeing societal attitudes begin to shift about rational suicide, which she sees as the outgrowth of a movement toward patient autonomy. Davis said she'd like to see polling on how many people share that opinion nationwide. It seems to me that there must be an awful lot of people in America who think the way I do, Davis said. Our beliefs are not respected. Nobody says, okay, how do we respect and facilitate the beliefs of somebody who wants to commit suicide rather than have dementia? So if you or someone you know has talked about contemplating suicide, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or use the online Lifeline Crisis Chat, both available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People 60 and older can call the Institute on Aging's 24-hour toll-free friendship line at 800-971-0016. IOA also makes ongoing outreach calls to lonely older adults. Kaiser Health News is a nonprofit news service covering health issues, an editorially independent program of the Kaiser Family Foundation, which is not affiliated with Kaiser Permanente. Moving on now to the New York Times New Old Age section, a debate over rational suicide. Americans are increasingly determined to exercise control over their deaths, and some believe suicide ought to be considered a reasonable option. On a March morning in 1989, Robert Schutz was found dead in his garage in Weir, Kansas. He had run a tube from the tailpipe of his beloved old Chrysler to the front seat, where he sat with a bottle of Wild Turkey. He was 80. His daughter wishes he had mentioned this plan when they spoke by phone the night before, because she didn't get to say a satisfying goodbye. But she would not have tried to dissuade him from suicide. Years earlier, he had told her of his intentions. "It wasn't a big surprise," she said of his death. "I knew what he was going to do and how he was going to do it." Wary of harassment in her conservative upstate New York town, she has asked me to withhold her name. Mr. Schutz, a retired house painter, was happily remarried and enjoyed good health. He still went fishing and played golf, showing no signs of the depression or other mental illness that afflicts most people who take their own lives. Nevertheless, he had explained why he someday planned to take his life. All the people he knew were dying in hospitals, full of tubes, lying there for weeks, and he was just horrified by it, his daughter said. He was determined to avoid that kind of death. Is suicide by older adults ever a rational choice? It's a topic many older people discuss among themselves, quietly or loudly, and one that physicians increasingly encounter too. Yet most have scant training or experience in how to respond, said Dr. Meera Balasubramaniam, a geriatric psychiatrist at New York University School of Medicine. "I found myself coming across individuals who were very old, doing well, and shared that they wanted to end their lives at some point," said Dr. Balasubramaniam. "So many of our patients are confronting this in their heads." She has not taken a position on whether suicide can be rational. Her views are evolving, she said, but hope to generate more medical discussion. She and a co-editor explored the issue in a 2017 anthology, Rational Suicide in the Elderly, and she revisited it recently in an article in the Journal of American Geriatric Society. The Hastings Center, the Ethics Institute in Garrison, New York, also devoted much of its latest Hastings Center report to a debate over voluntary death to forestall dementia. Every part of this idea includes the very phrase rational suicide, remains intensely controversial. Let's leave aside the related but separate issue of physician aid in dying, currently legal in many states and the District of Columbia, which applies only to mentally competent people likely to die of a terminal illness within 16 months. Suicide has already become a pressing health concern for older adults, more than 8,200 of whom took their lives in 2016, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older people in general, and older men specifically, have the highest rates, said Dr. Yates Conwell, the geriatric psychiatrist at the University of Rochester School of Medicine and a longtime suicide researcher. That's true even though research consistently shows older adults feeling happier than younger ones with improved mental health. A complex web of conditions contributes to late-life suicide, including physical illness and functional decline, personality traits and coping styles, and social disconnection. But the vast majority of older people who kill themselves also have a diagnosable mental illness, primarily depression, Dr. Conwell pointed out. Suicide often also involves impulsivity rather than careful consideration. That doesn't fit anybody's definition of a rational act. The suicide state is not fixed, Conwell said. It's a teeter-totter. There's a will to live and a will to die, and it goes back and forth. When healthcare providers aggressively treat seniors' depression and work to improve their health, function, and relationships, he said, it can change the equation. Failing to take action to prevent suicide, some ethicists and clinicians argue, reflects an ageist assumption, one older people themselves aren't immune to, that the lives of old or disabled people lack value. A tolerant approach also overlooks the fact that people often change their minds, declaring certain conditions unendurable in the abstract, but choosing to live if and when their worst actually happens. Slippery slope arguments factor into the debate, too. We worry that we could shift from a right to die to a duty to die if we make suicide seem desirable or justifiable, said Dr. Balasubramanian. But the size of the baby boomer cohort, with the drive for autonomy that has characterized its members, means that doctors expect more of their older patients to contemplate controlling the time and manner of deaths. Not all of them are depressed or otherwise impaired in judgment. Perhaps you feel your life is on a downhill course, said Dina Davis, bioethicist at Lehigh University, who has written about what she calls preemptive suicide. We ought to start having conversations that challenge the taboo of suicide, she said. However heated the arguments become, as religious groups and disability activists and right-to-die proponents weigh in, there's agreement on that point, at least. Reflexively, negative reactions to an older person's mere mention of suicide, "Don't say that," shut down the dialogue. Discussing it doesn't mean you're advocating it, said Dr. Balasubramanian. Her training has taught her that suicide is preventable, but she also sees her role, one family and friends can play too, as listening carefully to patients who discuss an eventual suicide, even as she looks for treatable illnesses that might be impacting their thinking. Sitting with someone who understands, who communicates caring, who is listening, is itself a reason for living, Dr. Conwell said, but not for everyone. Mr. Schutt's daughter watched her mother die of Alzheimer's, too, and shares her father's conviction that some fates are worse than death. She has told her four children that she intends to die before her life deteriorates to the level she finds intolerable. They accept her decision, she said. Accordingly, she avoids tests like mammograms or colonoscopies because she won't treat the diseases they reveal. To celebrate her 70th birthday, she had the initials DNR for Do Not Resuscitate tattooed on her chest within a decorative circle. For now, she enjoys her semi-rural life, but she monitors herself closely for signs of cognitive and functional decline. When I start to slip too much, she said, it's time. Again, if you're having thoughts of suicide, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. And now we'll go on to this information from the UK. Society for Old Age Rational Suicide. The Society for Old Age Rational Suicide, or SOARS, was established in the UK by Michael Irwin, a former medical director of the United Nations and a former chairman of the Voluntary Euthanasia Society in 2009, on December 10th, which is observed internationally as Human Rights Day, as the UN Declaration of Human Rights was adopted on December 10th, 1948. In April 2016, following discussion with its supporters and subsequent vote, SOARS changed its name to My Death, My Decision, MDMD. This reflects a broadening of objectives beyond old age and an acceptable issue for most people in the UK. The word suicide is inextricably linked with tragic, emotional, lonely, and often violent loss of life. This is in stark contrast to the type of voluntary, medically assisted death we campaign for, a peaceful, well-considered, individual choice following professional counseling, possibly in the company of friends and relatives. MDMD retains the main objective of SOARS to campaign for legalized medical assistance to die, which is not restricted to those who are considered terminally ill, when this is interpreted as having life expectancy of 6 months or less. This differentiates MDMD from the more restricted approach advocated by Dignity in Dying. The main long-term objectives of SOARS is to get the law eventually changed in the UK so that the very elderly, mentally competent individuals who are suffering unbearably from various health problems, although none of them is terminal, are allowed to receive a doctor's assistance to die if this is their persistent choice. Surely the decision to decide at an advanced age that enough is enough and avoiding further suffering to have a dignified death is the ultimate human right for a very elderly person. Of course, for the new law that would allow mentally competent, very elderly individuals who sincerely believe that they have lived a completed life, whose bodies are now severely failing them, to have a rational suicide with the assistance of a compassionate, understanding doctor, it would be essential to have strict procedures, such as two doctors, one a consultant geriatrician, certifying that the individual is mentally competent. Every elderly person requesting doctor-assisted suicide being interviewed by an official independent legal witness, experienced in family matters, to ensure that they are acting on their own. And there would be a 2-month waiting period between a request for suicide being made and the necessary medication being provided for this to be taken in the presence of a doctor. Very important to stress that a doctor must be involved. Well, rational suicide is clearly a multifaceted topic, which will be subject to much debate and likely not be settled decisively for some time to come, or if at all. Yet, as the experts in the article seem to agree, having discussions about it is critical. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.